This is the Drone Zone on EAA Radio, and I'm here with Matt Sloan and Ben Kroll of Skyfire Consulting.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent.
Yes, we are here to kind of talk about where the industry sits now, such that it has a need for what Skyfire does. Now, Skyfire, you're one of the vendors that's out at the Innovation Center, Aviation Gateway Park. In the drone tent.
The UAV showcase, guys.
There we go. Ooh. Thank you. UAV showcase portion of Aviation Gateway Park. Got it.
Okay. Nailed it.
They change names on us on these buildings every year. Anyway, so no. What we want to talk about is, first of all, who are you and what are you doing? And then how is the industry such that it needs a service for kind of what you do? So with that, I guess I'll turn it over to Matt. Who are you and what do you do?
Yes. My name is Matt Sloan. Okay. I'm the CEO and founder of Skyfire Consulting. And what we do, we primarily serve the public safety community. And so what we do is we help fire and police departments find the right equipment. We help them do all the training. We do on-site training for them. We help them with all of their FAA paperwork and all the necessary stuff there. Help them develop policies and procedures and service and repair. So we're kind of a one-stop shop. But what's really interesting, I have a background as an EMT. I also spent 14 years working in the media, and so I kind of know the production side and also the public safety end of things. And I literally just had I was giving a talk about how CNN covers stories, and I had gotten a drone the day before. This is now 4 years ago. And the fire chief in the room asked me, like, well, how do I get this for my department? And I said, I have no idea. Let me figure it out, and I'll get back to you. A couple months later, you know, we were kind of making it up as we went along in the beginning, as I think a lot of people in the drone industry were. And a couple months into it, I realized, hey, you know what? I really need some aviation help. I don't know what I'm talking about. Reached out to Ben through a friend who was a pilot, and Ben was a flight instructor, and said, hey, I really need your help developing this curriculum. And that's where you came in.
Yeah, so I am the COO now of Skyfire, and it was pretty much Matt and I kind of from the beginning figuring out how to do this. And we were able to take some of my aviation background. I've got about 5,000 hours and a whole bunch of dual instruction given, and formulate that into a program that helped firefighters and police officers learn to fly drones and incorporate some manned aviation techniques. And
you know, it's interesting. One of the things that we're doing or trying to do as best we can with the program here is making that jump for the people that are here between general aviation and UAVs, and understanding that there's a link, there's a shared goal, whether it's a hobbyist or professional, and making that jump and having people that have that background, I think is important. And I also have lots of time, you know, in full scale, we'll call it, as well as time, you know, playing with toys, you know, RC toys, and then professional UAV stuff. So that mix seems to be the thing that has been most successful in the industry in terms of finding ways of integrating that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's important to us. So we've taken a lot of those concepts like aeronautical decision making and risk management, mm-hmm. risk assessment, and really applying it. And it gives us some kind of instant credibility walking in the door, you know, with a lot of these agencies. And
Can you also agree that when somebody says, why do I ever need to know this on my 107 test? You're like, no.
Yes, exactly. We've got a lot of stories. Absolutely. A lot that we can talk about.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest things for us, too. That's why I love having Ben as a co-founder, because, you know, I'm a pilot now. I'm a sport pilot, but I wasn't when we started this thing. And honestly, his experience, his stories in class are amazing. But what's cool about it is, you know, there's a lot of Part 61 pilots, full-scale pilots, as you call them, who really have this negative view of drones and drone pilots.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to say to them, like, look, we get it. We understand. Mm-hmm. We're trying to give them the knowledge that they need so that they're not going to be a problem for you. So, you know, obviously you need it for Part 107 as well, too. We spend a lot of time on airspace, a lot of time on weather, radio calls, and understanding the aviation environment so they don't do stupid stuff and go fly around here at Oshkosh, for example.
Yeah.
Piggybacking off of the fact that you guys are both pilots, but how are you bringing in your piloting experience when you teach someone how to fly a drone? So it's like, say, a fireman or anybody else that you're training.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We've designed we've got a few different kind of training packages, but we have a 2-day program that's day one is ground training and day two is flight training. And it's like Matt was saying, you know, it's a lot of what we try to convey. The first thing that we walk in the door conveying is that it's not a toy, and that you're flying an aircraft in the National Airspace System, and the aircraft can cause damage and it can hurt people. And that's where we start from, and that's really where we lay the foundation. And I think that's the most important thing. From there, everything kind of falls into place. There's a lot of stories that we can relate, a lot of practical applications, you know, that we can describe as far as, you know, lift and, you know, the difference between, like, you know, induced drag and, you know, those kinds of things. So,
boy, running it just like a school, then, huh?
It's almost as if. Well, it really is, and it's training on something that everybody has just enough knowledge to be dangerous with.
Absolutely. Exactly. Well, I make the analogy like you wouldn't go get an RC car from, you know, for Christmas and then go take it on the highway.
Exactly.
That's basically what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we say, like, don't do this without training. I mean, if you don't know that you're a mile from the airport, you're not into aviation, you don't care, you could easily put a drone up and be in the way. So
Or the one that we use a lot is, you don't go out and buy a new fire truck and then start doing, you know, donuts in the parking lot.
Now, in your experience, what has been the things that are the biggest barriers for an organization to implement a drone program?
I think it's really that belief that this stuff is a toy. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of, I hate this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, the old guard, quote unquote. Guys that are just like, look, this is a toy. We're never going to use it. It's too expensive. I don't see the point. But then, you know, I talked to a fire chief a couple of days ago, and he said, look, we had two people drown within 6 days of each other, and it took an hour and a half to get a helicopter here, and that person died. And he goes, you know what? If I could get a drone in the air in a minute, I don't care if you think it's a toy. I'm going to do that. And they were in a very urban area where they should have been able to get access to a helicopter more quickly. And so when you start to hear stories like that, or stories of, you know, we have a client who dropped a life jacket to somebody who was struggling in the lake, and saved their lives. I mean, this is not a toy. It's not a joke. And so I think, you know, we've spent the last 4 years explaining that to people, and it's really starting to catch on now. And budget too is the other big thing.
Well, budget, and then you know, there's a lot of sometimes community or political opposition to it too. Mm-hmm. So we spend a fair amount of time talking to folks about how to engage their communities and how to engage the public and other.
Let's dive on that.
Yeah,
tell me about some of the things that both commercial operators and public safety operators can do to help alleviate this ridiculous fear of drones.
Right. Yeah. And this is one of the more difficult ones. But as simple as for public safety, especially, and commercial operators too, you know, we preach transparency and explain to people what you're doing. Have the community come out and look at it. Show them, you know, how you're doing it. If you're a commercial operator, you know, be visible. You know, be approachable.
Yeah, call the police in the local area. Say, hey, I'll be out flying at this location at this time. Yeah. Here's my clearances. And that way, if someone gets a little upset or anything, absolutely, they already know you're there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But in my case, a small area that I knew that the cops are going to start getting phone calls, I let them know that I exist and offer to help them as needed. I know darn well they have their own people that they can call in. But
a lot of times they don't, and that's just it. You know, so we also get the question a lot of times from firefighters, like, well, what do we do about rogue drones? Because you've heard all this stuff about, you know, wildfires and drones interfering with airdrops and water drops and stuff. And so we tell them, like, you know what? Find out who these guys are and put them to work. Honestly, I mean, if you don't have a drone program, go find somebody who's responsible, who, you know, has Part 107, and say, look, could I call you if there's a problem? We need a drone, you know, and that's going to make that person more likely to be responsible and check in with the incident commander if they want to come out and fly.
Exactly. Going back to the response times too, I mean, you can have something put together and flying in 5 to 10 minutes if you're charged and ready, if you keep it.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about that too is, you know, we get these questions, like, people say, like, well, this is only for, like, big city fire departments. And I said, no, it's actually not. It's the complete opposite. They use them too, don't get me wrong. And a lot of them are our clients. But, you know, it's best if, you know, if for a rural fire department, it's actually a force multiplier. So, you know, if you have a volunteer fire department, and one guy goes and drives the fire truck to the fire, well, that guy can't really leave the fire truck because he's also got to be pulling hose and, you know, all that stuff. So if he can put a drone up in the air and in a few seconds see what's going on, that's a huge benefit to these guys.
I'm actually seeing the expansion into drones in my local area. But again, like you said, the old guard, there's a lot of people that say it's just not for us. It's not useful. But they haven't truly been shown its ability. So do you guys come into a new area and say, here's what I can do, let me show you?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So we have a bunch of firefighter friends, obviously, that we go around and speak at different conferences. And one of them said this to me. He said, this is like the way the thermal imaging camera was when it came into the fire service. Everybody looked at it and they're like, oh, that's crazy. That's expensive. We'll never have one of those. And now there's one on every single fire truck in America. And he said, that same thing is going to happen with drones. It's just going to take some time. And people don't understand that, oh, I have to budget for this. It's not cheap. So, you know, that we're trying to get them to plan ahead.
Yeah, and like Matt was saying, we're really seeing those use cases right now. Matt and I get texts and phone calls sometimes at 3 a.m. from an agency that maybe they had a rough night and they were out searching for somebody and they realized something and they figured something out. And so for us, that there's some real satisfaction in there and just seeing that, you know, and where we're at today and that people's lives are getting saved ultimately, you know, from the adoption of the technology.
All right. Well, this has been Ben and Matt.
Ooh. We may have time for a second segment. If you guys got some time to stick around,
sure. All right. No, then never mind.
No, we're talking to Matt Sloan and Ben Kroll of Skyfire, and we're going to have another talk here in just a moment. We're going to talk technology when we come back.
Awesome.
This is EAA Radio.